Good morning. I welcome you all here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I thank you for coming. I know that it is Father's Day today, but he did not give me a typical Father's Day sermon. However, this is a message from the Father for all of us. The last two sermons that I have given have been in a row. He's told me that I'm to teach and preach certain things, and the first one was on faith, the last one was on repentance, and this one's on baptism. And with faith, we learned that you don't have to have a lot of faith to get your prayers answered. It takes a very minuscule amount of faith. It's about the size of a grain of a mustard seed. It's a very small amount. With repentance, we learned that we had to start thinking differently about the sins that we had committed, and that we had to reverse our decisions on making those sins. And with baptism, we understand here in our church that to be baptized, you must be fully immersed in water by someone who has authority from God to do that. And then you have to receive the Holy Ghost in the baptism of fire by the laying on of hands from an elder of the Lord. But the word baptism, and I looked this up, it comes from a Greek word, and that Greek word is baptizo. And it means to make overwhelmed. So what is that? It doesn't sound like baptism. It also means to cover wholly with a fluid. Well, now that sounds more like baptism. The word is baptizo, and it is comes from a Greek verb that is babto. And babto is the part where it means to cover wholly with a fluid or to overwhelm. So you're going to be overwhelmed with this fluid. I'm going to turn to Matthew, the third chapter. And I'm going to start at the first verse. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." They were covered over wholly, overwhelmed with a fluid by John the Baptist, or John the Overwhelmer. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father." "For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So John was going to cover them or overwhelm them wholly with water. And then God is going to, or Jesus Christ is going to cover them wholly with fire and the Holy Ghost. Baptism, to be baptized, so that they would have a reversal of decision on their sins. So that's baptism. That's what it means. I'm going to turn to Mark. The first chapter, fourth verse. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. So they all did this. Sixth verse. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus was baptized. And the Spirit of God came down upon him like in the form of a dove. That was his baptism of water and his baptism of fire in the Holy Ghost. He was baptized by John. And it had to be that way. Back in Matthew, he tells John, because John wants to get baptized by him, because John knows what this is all about. But back in Matthew, in the third chapter, John's talking, and in the 13th verse it says, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. And he baptized him. It had to be done that way in order to fulfill all righteousness. Now, this shouldn't be new to all of you who are members of the church. And I hope it's not new to those of you who are not members yet, but are thinking about it. I hope that you've been studying and that you understand this. Let's see what he said in Luke, how they did it. Okay, again, this is about John. The third chapter of Luke, the third verse. And this is what John was doing. I read this, all of these things, in the sermon about repentance, but we didn't go into the baptism side of it. We just talked about repentance. So the third chapter of Luke, third verse. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, or completely covered with water, or a fluid, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So here comes all these people in there, and they want to get baptized, and they understand what baptism is. But how? Why did they understand what this baptism was all about? You know, it doesn't really explain it anywhere in the New Testament that we know of, or that we understand, or that the world says, hey, where did it come from? But they seem to understand it. Well, that's because they used a different word than baptism. Let's turn to John. Going to start at the third chapter of John. Actually, no. Let's go to the first chapter. I don't want to miss this part. And this is the 19th verse of the first chapter. And this is amazing because they understood this. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith unto them, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. Why, what sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Now these are Pharisees. These are the lawyers of the law of Moses. These are the guys that know it frontwards and backwards and can twist it around and make it fit their desires. This is what they asked him. Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? So why are you baptizing these people if you're not Christ or Elias? These Pharisees knew about baptism. Where did they get it? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And we're going to go ahead and read the 29th through the 34th also. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. This guy right here, this is the reason I am baptizing all you people. This man. This is it. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. John knew who Jesus was. God told him who Jesus was going to be, what to look for, and he knew what Jesus was going to do. So let's go to the third chapter of John, and we're going to start, let's start at the first verse. Here comes another lawyer. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So Nicodemus knew who Jesus was, and he knew that he was doing these miracles, and he knew that they'd been going around baptizing people, and he knew why what the baptism was for. Or at least he thought he did. Jesus answered, third verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What are you talking about? I know what baptism is, but what are you talking about? This isn't baptism. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You got to become a brand new baby. That's how you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't do that, become a brand new baby and receive the Spirit of God in you and be covered with it, you're not going to get in. It's not just being covered with water, Nicodemus. But it's being covered with the Spirit of God. That's being born again. You have to do these things. So it's not just that John was baptizing with water. It's that you have to be born again. The Hebrews had a meaning for baptism. And they had a word. It was the same word that the Greeks used, except they pronounced it used it in the Hebrew language. And it meant to be overwhelmed, just like it did in the Greek word, baptizo, to be overwhelmed or to make overwhelmed. Their word was overwhelmed. And you can go back in the Bible and you can look up overwhelmed, and it's in the Old Testament, and you can see what it means. Check it out in your concordance. It means to cover over, inundate, or flood. Wash thoroughly. So that's why they understood what the baptism was. Because they used the word that to them meant to be washed thoroughly or covered over or flooded. And they have a reason for it. But Jesus was telling Nicodemus, there's another reason. And we're going to go to Genesis, the first chapter, first part of the Bible. First thing that was written down for our benefit. And we're going to try to understand what Jesus was talking about to Nicodemus right here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So here you got this earth, and it's covered with water. And then you have the lightness and the dark, night and day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So now we have waters up, and we have waters down. And there's a space between. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So we still have this planet covered with water, and then there's water up in the heavens, and there's the heavens between it. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. So now God has born the world out of water. Brand new baby. Brand new planet. And then he went and he put in all of the herbs and the trees and the plants. And then he made the animals. And then he made man. And it was brand new. And it was beautiful. And there wasn't any sin there. Just like a brand new baby. And then Satan came to Eve and he tempted her with the apple. The thing that God, or fruit, not actually an apple. He tempted her with this, and she succumbed to his temptations and partook of this fruit that was forbidden, and sin entered into the world. And then Adam sinned. And then the world became full of sin, and they were driven out of the garden and became just like the rest of us, having to live in their sins and try and make a living and do the things that they were supposed to do and raise their families. So they worked at this. Go to the 6th chapter of Genesis. Going to start at the 5th verse. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Nasty. Everybody was just nasty. Sinners. Sin was rampant everywhere. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I've had it. They're just too wicked, and I'm going to wipe them out. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. And Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. So there is one good guy. Let's go to, let's just keep going. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. Make this ark. So he made the ark. And then he tells him, he hadn't made it, but he's telling him how to make it. Down at the 17th verse, he says, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee, I will establish my covenant. Well, that's what we do when we get baptized. We make a covenant with God. That's the whole purpose of it. That's the whole reason that we repent of our sins and go down in the water and get washed and then come up and receive the Holy Ghost. Because we have made this covenant with God that we're going to be his children. And he accepts us as his children. So he's going to make this covenant with Noah. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, and you're going to get saved from destruction. You're not going to be with the wicked in death, you're going to get saved, Noah, because you're going to make this covenant with me. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with these. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So that's why we have the animals with us. He killed all the wicked people, but he left the animals. He left the earth. He didn't actually destroy the earth. He just washed it clean. And the Pharisees knew this, and they understood this. But they didn't understand about the birth of the world. They didn't get it. That's why Nicodemus didn't understand that he had to be born again. He just thought he had to be washed. He didn't understand that he was going to be a brand new baby. It came forth out of the water the first time that the world was made. And it came forth out of the water, brand new and clean, after the flood. And it happened one time. In the 9th chapter of Genesis, starting at the 11th verse. The flood has come, everything's been wiped out, and the flood has gone away. And now it's brand new. And God tells Noah in the 11th verse, "And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood." Not going to get baptized again. This is it. The world is going to be baptized once. "Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." This is the sign that the covenant has been made with God and the earth. "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." The rainbow. Noah made this covenant with God and became a child of the light. Just like he tells us in John, that you have to become a child of the light. Now, light, pure light, what color is it? It's all the colors of the rainbow. Noah became a child of the light. He was born again out of the water, and he made a covenant with God. This happens again, and they didn't understand that those Pharisees. Turn to Exodus. Fourteenth chapter. Going to start at the 21st verse. This is when the house of Israel escapes Egypt, escapes the land of Egypt, puts all the old evil things that were in Egypt behind them, and goes down into the water and comes up the other side, a brand new people. "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea." This is the 21st verse of the 14th chapter of Exodus. "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." Down into the water they went. There was a cloud there. A cloud that led them by day. And a pillar of fire came out of that cloud at night to lead them at night. And it covered them as they were going down into the water. And it blocked the way between them and the Egyptians till they were down into the water. And then the Egyptians came down into the water behind them on the other side of this cloud that was separating them. And the 26th verse, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea." So here they are. They've been walking at night in the middle of the sea, surrounded by water, with the Egyptians behind them, on the other side of the cloud. And then in the morning, God tells Moses, let them have it. And so the house of Egypt was drowned behind them in the water. The sin of the Egyptians was drowned. And Israel put it behind them. They put their sin behind them. And they were in the water. They were covered with water. Go to the 19th chapter of Exodus. They came up onto the other side, and when they came up onto the other side and the waters came back together, the Hebrew people, the house of Israel, they saw all the Egyptian soldiers and horses laying on the shore dead. And they knew that God had done this for them, that God had saved them. So here they came up out, and it took them about 3 months to get to Mount Sinai. When they got to Mount Sinai, they made a covenant with God. Third verse of the 19th chapter. "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." So God made this promise with the house of Israel also. And they accepted the promise and said they were going to be his kids. Brand new babies. Nicodemus understood that they had been baptized in water. He understood that they had been covered because they had walls of water on either side of them. There was still water way up in front of them being blown away. The water had closed behind them, covered up all the sin, and then there was a cloud of water over them, leading them on their way. They understood that those people had been overwhelmed in a flood of water, or covered in water. They understood what baptism was, and that's why the Greeks used that word. That's why it was written in the New Testament with the word baptized, or baptism. Because they had to be covered with water to become a child of the light. That rainbow token. The world says that it's not so. The world says that you can be sprinkled with water on your head. The world says that you can just stand up and confess that God is your Savior and you'll be saved. It's not true. You have to repent of your sins and be completely, fully immersed, baptized. And it says it right here in the Bible. You don't have to use the Book of Mormon to prove it to the world. You can just take their Bible and say, this is what it says. If Joseph Smith was going to try and convince the world that the record that he had translated was written in this Reformed Egyptian Hebrew language, he would have used the Reformed Egyptian word to say baptized. But instead he used the Greek word to say baptized. And that's the word that the English people knew when they came to the Americas. They didn't know the Hebrew word. They knew the Greek word. So when God translated it from the Reformed Egyptian Hebrew language into the American English language, he used the word baptized, because that was the language of the day. If Joseph Smith was trying to prove to the world that he was, you know, some kind of guy, if he would have translated it himself and looked things up, he would have used the Hebrew word. But he didn't. So there you have another testimony that the Book of Mormon was written exactly the way God wanted it written. Baptized. Covered in water, holy, completely, and come out the other side a brand new baby. Make this covenant with God. Repent of your sins. Reverse the decisions that you used to think about sin, that it was okay. And just do this. It doesn't take a lot of faith. You don't have to have all perfect knowledge. It just takes a little bit of faith to go down into the waters, start thinking differently about your sins, and get covered up and come out the other side a brand new baby and make this covenant with God and be accepted by Him and become a child of the light. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's simple. And the rest of the world has it in their hands. You just need to go out and explain it to them so they'll understand. You can help your neighbors with this. You can help your families that don't believe the way we believe and show them. It says it right here in your Bible. You don't have to take the Book of Mormon to try and prove it. But you can use this, what it says in the Bible, to prove the Book of Mormon to them after they understand what it says here. Because there were places in the Bible that talked about this and explained it. But the church that was in charge of the Bible took those things out everywhere they could. They forgot one spot. Turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 10th chapter. First verse. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. They forgot one spot to take out. Please remember about faith, repentance, and baptism. You'll be taught these things again by other members of the priesthood. You'll be taught these things again by me. But remember this. And it'll make it easier for you to help your fellow man. Thank you.